Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to John in chapter 3 as we continue our study in the book of John. The new birth or being born again, when you hear those words, it's very unsettling. You must be born again. Those are unsettling words. The words of Jesus throughout Scripture to many people are unsettling. And why are they unsettling? Well, one of the reasons why they're unsettling is we're confronted with our condition of hopelessness. If the Bible says you must be born again or you must be born from above, we're then confronted with the fact that how do we do that? How does that happen? We're spiritually dead, we're legally dead, and we're morally guilty in the eyes of God. So how do we help ourselves when we hear those words? When you hear those words, people are intimidated, they're antagonized, people are defensive, and then we become rebellious. All of those things lead to rebellion. So Jesus says we must be born again. And so we're confronted with the fact that we don't know how to do that and we don't even know what it means. Then we realize, how can we do it? How can we cause this new birth? How can we be born again? It's something that's done to us. It's not something that we do. Having a new birth is something that happens to us. It's something that we don't participate in. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again." So we see it's not in our control. It's not in our control, though many people think it is in their control. And then this other point, the final thing, is that it confronts us with the fact that it's God's freedom and total power for us to be born from above, for us to be born of the Spirit, for us to be born again. We are by nature, the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 3, we are by nature children of wrath. We are by nature rebellious to God. We are by nature sinful. So our new birth solely relies on God. And so when you hear that term born again, and we hear that term in our world today, it applies to people who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Being born again applies to those that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. That means the born again soul, someone who is born again, born of the Spirit, born of the water, not born of man, not born of flesh, they realize that they are a sinner. And we know that Romans in chapter 3, verse 23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So the person who is born again realizes that they're a sinner. They realize that the wages of sin, that the penalty of their sin, the penalty of your sin, the penalty of my sin prior to us being born again was death. And the penalty is death. That doesn't mean a physical death. That means an eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. So to rectify those circumstances, to rectify the circumstance that we're all sinners, the wages of sin is death, God sent his only son to die in our place, the punishment of our sin. And Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8 says that while we were yet against God, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ was in the midst of being against him. He died for us. The Bible says, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus And only Jesus provides the blessing of salvation. But the words that Jesus spoke were very unsettling to people. They got people angry. Jesus called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He called the most religious people of that day. He called the leaders of that day, the teachers of that day. He said, you guys look all clean on the outside, but inside you stink. Inside you're filthy. Unsettling words to the highest religious leaders of the day. Imagine if Jesus came to the church today and preached to the church today. The church today that, you know, the church of today that wants to hear the word of encouragement that everything we do is great, it's fine, you're okay, we're all okay. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul preaching today? Jesus preaching today? Peter preaching today in the culture that we live in today? So each person has a choice to receive or reject God's gift through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tell us that. We have an opportunity. We could receive it or we could reject it. So our text this morning, we're going to be looking at John in chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Here's the words of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. You do not receive our witness. Verse 11. Verse 12. And if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Remember, flesh produces flesh. Spirit produces spirit. In verse 13. And no one has received into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes may in him have eternal life. So we see here in verse 11 here, this is rejected. This is rejected. You receive not our witness. Prior to coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were all skeptical. Right at the beginning, at this point in his life, Nicodemus didn't believe right at this point. Remember, Nicodemus came to him at night. Nicodemus came to him. Nicodemus was a leader, the teacher of the teachers. But at this particular point, he didn't believe. He was very, very skeptical. It's our nature. It's man's nature not to believe. You know, growing up a certain way and then never hearing the gospel, could you imagine? You know, people haven't heard the gospel. I didn't hear the gospel till I was 20 years old. I grew up Catholic, and so I didn't hear the gospel until I was 20 years old. And then when I heard it, very skeptical. Very, very skeptical. Don't let them brainwash you. Don't let them convince you of something. I can remember at times when people would come to the house or come to the door and they would come with their Bibles. And I was the most skeptical person in the world. How can you tell me if when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus or without Jesus? What makes you the authority? Who are you? Who are you? That was my thought. Oh, I'm not ever going to be like those people. They're a bunch of weirdos. I'm not going to church. And if I go, as soon as it's over, I'll be out the door. I'm not like them. I don't want to be like them. They say one thing and do another. They act like they're perfect. They act like they're the only people who are going to heaven. All they do is judge everybody. They're a bunch of hypocrites. they go to church on Sunday, and they're at happy hour on Wednesday night, and they're over here, and they're over there, and they say don't do this, and they do that. And that guy up there, how do I know anything about him? That's called skeptical. How do we know we can trust them? We don't even know them. Why do I want to go over to their house to have coffee and cake? I don't know them. Why are we inviting them to our house? We don't know them. I don't want them to come over and talk about the Bible all night. That's all we're going to do. They're going to bring the Bible, and they're going to try to convince us. It's like a timeshare thing. Did you ever go on a timeshare? Yeah, we used to go. We'll go for the two-hour presentation if you give us the $100 gift card so we could go out to dinner after we sat there for 2 hours and know we were never going to buy anything. To me, growing up, like, that was the same thing. Oh, these people from church are coming over. We're going to have to sit there and be polite for 2 hours. And eventually they're going to try to pressure us to do something. That's rejection. Anything that someone can talk you into, someone can talk you out of. So, that's why salvation is all of God. That's why a new nature and transformation and a new heart, when God says, I will give you a new heart, I will give you a new soul, I will plant in you with all of my heart and soul, I will give you one spirit, I will never leave you or walk away from you, and I will cause you to never walk away from me. We have nothing to do with that. God says, I will do this, I will do that, I will give you a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind. Salvation is all of God. It's all of God. In John, in chapter, 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of Man hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record of God that God gave his Son. So when you don't believe in what you're hearing, then you're not believing in God. And the Bible has unsettling words here. Unsettling words. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And God gave his Son the record. If we don't believe it, then we're making God out to be a liar. John 1:11 says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They received him not. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the Bible here is telling us, he that rejecteth me and receive not my words, then the one judges him that comes. When you don't receive the word. For a long, long time, I know in my own personal life, I didn't receive the word. I heard the word, but rejected the word. And all of just what we spoke about just a few minutes ago was reality. It was reality back then, and it's reality now for today for people. It's reality now. Reality for people now is I'm good enough. I'm okay. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not perfect. So I have a couple of little faults, a couple of idiosyncrasies, a couple of bad habits. That doesn't make me a bad person. And then you have the other spectrum where, you know, I don't do anything bad. You know, I volunteer my time. I serve on this thing and I do that. And I'm a good person. And I always go to church. That doesn't necessarily mean you're saved. Doing good deeds is good. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're born again. You can't enter the kingdom unless you're born again. And you can't do anything to make yourself born again. It's a work of God. Remember that. I will put my heart in you. I will put my spirit in you. I will never turn my back on you, and I will make it that you never turn your back on me. And when does that happen? That was our lead into this. It happens when someone realizes that they're a sinner and that their sin is eternally separated from God. When they realize the penalty of their sin is eternal separation. When they realize that Jesus Christ came to take the place, that while we were against him, he died for us. And when we cry out in repentance, in genuine, honest, sincere repentance of our sin, confession and repentance, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And that's the new birth. And that's the new birth. It isn't a how-to. Those are just the facts of what the Scripture says. It's not a how-to book. It's not a how-to book. It's exactly what the Scripture tells us. It's what God's Word says to us. And so Jesus says, truly, truly, I speak to you. We speak that which we know, and we bear witness of what we have seen, and you don't receive it. So when we witness to someone, when we bear witness of what we know, and when we bear witness of what we see, it's not so much we're going to someone's house, reading them what the Bible says, because we are, in a sense. But a witness is what? A witness, when a witness is called to go to court, a witness is someone who has what? Who has first-hand knowledge of something. They've seen something. There's an eyewitness. They're bringing in an eyewitness. They're going to court because they are an eyewitness, which means they have seen it. They saw it. They can speak about what they saw. They don't bring a witness in if they haven't seen it. Well, Your Honor, we have this witness here today. And, well, who is he? Well, he was around the block when the incident happened. Well, did he see it? No, but he heard it. Well, if he didn't see it, then how could he be a witness as to what exactly happened? So if we witness to someone, we're witnessing what? We're witnessing what happened in our life. And what happened in our life, you know what happens? It correlates to what the Scripture says. So we explain the Scripture, but then we bear witness of what has happened in our life. And the problem with the church today is many people can't explain what has happened in their lives. They can't explain it. Now, they're either not being properly taught and discipled, or there's nothing to explain. It's either one or the other. They're either not being properly discipled, or there's nothing to explain. And it's some of both. The Bible tells us, excuse me, if I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. So he came down. Jesus came down. He descended. No man has ascended up to heaven. No man can penetrate that spiritual world other than the man who descended from that spiritual world, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the origin of Jesus Christ is in heaven. And the origin of Jesus Christ is in heaven because Jesus Christ was God. God became man. God became man in the form of Jesus Christ. He who was in heaven descended. He descended. His origin was in heaven. He came out of the spiritual world into the physical world. Jesus Christ is timeless. He was from the beginning. He was from the beginning. He is timeless. The Son of Man, which is in heaven, means his existence. That phrase, which is in heaven, means his existence and his experience is timeless. It's timeless. He's the eternal one. The Bible says in John in chapter 6, verses 33, and then over to 38, the Bible says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." In John in chapter 6, and if you go to verse 50 and 51, the Bible says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And in John in chapter 8, in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." You can go to John in chapter 13, in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and went to God. And finally, John in chapter 17, in verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thy name with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He descended down from heaven to give the bread of life, which is the only bread that we would need. The only thing that we would need, the mediator. And the new birth that we have, being born again, the new birth, being born from above, is revealed only by Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven, and he's timeless. The Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." It's only through Jesus Christ, being born again. How can you be born again? The new birth, if you go to verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life." So the people of Israel had a great need. They had a great, great need. And that need was salvation. It's no different than the great need that we have today. When you must be born again. Unsettling, and it was unsettling to the people back then in Jesus' day, and it's unsettling today to the people of our day. The serpent here is a symbol of Satan, the evil one. And go back to Genesis 3 all the way through Revelation. The serpent signifies the evil one. It's a symbol. Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the Satan, of the devil. He destroyed his works, the Bible tells us, by being lifted up in Hebrews in chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. The Bible says that Jesus Christ destroyed that. The serpent was a cursed creature from the very beginning. So here, man, instead of looking up to the serpent as they did back in the day, now they're looking up to Jesus Christ. Just as the serpent was lifted up, so too is Christ lifted up. Christ is lifted up on high. The man who believes in Jesus Christ is the man who is born again, is the man who is born from above. He's looking above to Jesus Christ. And he will have eternal life, the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." With his stripes, we are healed. John in chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And in John in chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. It's all of God. It's all of God. He that heareth my word and believeth has eternal life. To believe in something is different than believing about something. To believe in something is to put my faith and trust in something. I believe in you. I trust you. When two people get married, they trust each, they believe in each other. They're giving their life for one another. I'm giving my life to my wife. She's giving her life to me. We believe in each other. We sacrifice for one another. We become selfless people. The spouse becomes more important than me. Jesus becomes more important than me. Pleasing him, pleasing God, becomes more important than pleasing me. And you know what that is? That's a new nature. Because our old nature is about pleasing us. Our old nature is about not inconveniencing us. Our old nature is about never changing our schedule. As long as it works for me, I can do it. As long as it works for me, I can do it. Well, what days can you make it? Or what time should we do this? Or maybe we should do that. You know, I could remember early on in ministry, at times, the consideration of changing a time to accommodate people. You know, the people that are always late. So let's change the time and see if we, let's not make it 9:30, let's make it 9:45. So the people that are late at 9:30, now they'll be on time at 9:45. But what happens is, the people that were late at 9:30, when you make it 9:45, they're late. So when you're born again, there's a change. You're a new creature. You have a whole different focus. You have a whole different passion. You have a whole different commitment. You have a whole different nature. You're changed. If there's no change, then where is the evidence? You're called into a court of law to say, we want the evidence that you're a Christian. And what would you say? What would you say? Well, I'm a member of the Madison Baptist Church in New Jersey. So what does that mean? That means when we go to church on Sunday and we have a meeting on Wednesday night. And? What other evidence do you have? Where's the other evidence do you have? How many people have you actually said, shared the gospel with since you've been a member of Madison Baptist Church? How many people do you know personally have seen come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior since you were a member of the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey? How many people on a daily basis are you proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to since you've been the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey member? Where's the evidence? We're witnesses. Jesus said you're to be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and everywhere. You're to be my witness. If we got called into the court of law, I'm here to be a witness. Witness of what? The gospel. That's the gospel. So this morning, that's the question for everybody here and for everybody who may hear this word. We We've got expert witnesses here today, Your Honor. We have witnesses that are here. We have people who claim. And other than Sunday and Wednesday, they're going to come one by one and they're going to give you an account. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you do what I command. If you love me, you'll do what I command. If you love me, you'll do what I command. And God said, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new soul, a new spirit, and I'm going to plant you in such a way with all my heart and soul, and I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And that's his promise. So this morning, our invitation is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today would be the day to make sure you do know that for sure. It's not about how long you've been a church member or what you think. It's about what has God done in your life. What has he done in your life? What is he doing in your life? And are you so excited about it that you can't wait to talk to somebody about it? So this morning, as we contemplate that, your invitation this morning is to come into that personal relationship with Christ by acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior, by repenting of your sin, by understanding that God loves you, and he is the only one and true God, and that our sin eternally separates us from him. And there's nothing we could do to help ourselves. But because while we were against God, he sent Christ to die for our sin, and that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, what does that look like? That means prior to knowing Christ, I believed in my heart that I was far, far away from God and I was eternally separated from God. And I knew that when I died, I would be eternally separated from God. And simply what that means is, in this unsettling term, I was going to go straight to hell. It wasn't about being afraid to go to hell. It was about being broken that God would love me so much, in spite of how evil I was, that he would send his son to die for me. And that's why we love him. We love him because he loves us when we don't deserve it. You may be sitting there today or sitting at home thinking you deserve something. What you deserve before you came to know Christ was to go to hell. Like it or not, that's what we deserved. But that's why we love God, because he loved us so much. And we just can't even comprehend how much he would love us. And we're broken, and we just say we're sorry over and over again. And we just confess our sins and we repent our sins. And we're adopted into his family. And that's how you could be adopted into his family, and everybody else can be adopted into his family. That's why we exist. We don't exist to put on a show for one another, or to say when we die, someone could put on our stone, we remember the Madison Baptist Church for 40 years. We exist to bring glory to God by being a part of people coming to know Christ based on our witness and what he's done in our lives. And if you're here this morning and you don't have anything to say, then you need to check your life. You need to check your life. Maybe you're not saved. I don't know. That would be between you and God. But all I know is this. When you're born again and you have a new heart and a new nature, you're a different person, and all you want to do is please him. So in pleasing him, you know what happens? You've got to inconvenience yourself. You've got to inconvenience yourself. And that, you know what that means? You got to change your schedules. Change your thinking. It's not about you anymore. It's about him. That's why we love him. That's why we praise him. And that invitation is there for you this morning. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray.